Derek, my Christmas choice is not for the faint-hearted.
Oh, indeed.
The book is like a doorstop. It's got 750 pages in it. And it's called Ireland's Generous Nature by Peter Wise-Jackson. And it's the book of everything. Every plant in Ireland and ones that were brought here as well. And what they were used for all through the ages. What you could eat, what you couldn't eat, the medicines, all of those. Now, I have to give you a health warning because there are loads of cures for piles and warts. And you would not like to be doing it because you probably kill yourself in the process. I mean, some of these things are ridiculous cures. So do not eat anything. Do not take anything out of this book.
Do not try this at home.
Do not try. Read the book at home, but, you know, if you don't know that it's safe before you read the book, don't take the book's advice. And in fact, Peter, to be fair to him, at the beginning of the book says, do not try this at home.
Okay, good.
But now, it's great. It's full of all sorts of exciting
and it's
things.
It's massive, Aina. It's massive. Drop it on the table there, Aina, so people can hear just how massive it is. Boom. Now, the table's almost collapsed. Now, who is Peter Wise-Jackson?
Peter Wise-Jackson was originally the director of the Botanic Gardens in Dublin. And then he went off to become the president of Missouri Botanic Gardens. And he's just retired from there now. And he spent his life, obviously, writing this book. And he got Missouri Botanic Gardens to publish it, all 750 pages of it. And therefore, it's available on Amazon rather than on in a bookshop. Now, I got it when it came out in 2014. And I've been mining it for all kinds of information and treasure. And all I sound really wonderful when I tell you about plants. But half of it has come out of this book in the first place, I have to confess.
Now, you spoke to Peter from his home in Missouri.
Actually, I spoke to him from the Botanic Gardens in Missouri, where now he is president. Peter, how long did it take you to write this book?
Aina, it took me probably 10 years of actual writing, but about 50 years of preparation to do it. Because I've been interested in the use of Irish plants, really, most of my life. And so this was an attempt to gather any information I could find on pretty well every plant in Ireland. It documents about 1,500 different plant species and what's known about their use for multitude of different purposes throughout history in Ireland.
So it's not just merely curing people or putting spells on them, but I mean other things like making ropes, like making musical instruments, like being used for thatching, all of these things that they were used for as well. So it's a lifetime's craft, really, all there together. And no matter what plant you might think of, you look it up and there it is, because obviously with 1,500 plants in it, there are far more than just the native Irish species, the ones that came here of their own bat and weren't brought here by other people. So there's ones that were planted for various reasons, ones that turned up as invasive species, all sorts of things, and you have an account of them all.
Well, I've tried to make sure that I get as much information as I could find on really every plant that occurs in the wild in Ireland that has been used for some purpose in Ireland over the years. And many wild plants that are not native were brought in specifically because they were used for food or medicine or some other purpose.
The bit I find really interesting is the use of plants for medicines. I mean, you look at what they were used for. You'd wonder how people didn't die by taking the cures rather than whatever ailed them in the first instance. All sorts of things that we wouldn't dream of eating nowadays because we know they're not good for us.
Well, I think they also had many centuries of trial and error. There is between a quarter and a third of all of the wild Irish plants were probably used for some medicinal purpose in the past. But today, most of that is forgotten. There are some people who remember, who have cures for different things. But a lot of that knowledge is now gone. It was believed that for every ailment, there was a plant cure in Ireland. But that traditional knowledge of how they were used for medicinal purposes has by and large gone from popular knowledge.
I suppose, like anything else, it depends on if you believe it or not. I mean, if you believe something is doing you good, well, then it probably is doing you good. I mean, the wild orchids, I mean, the Irish word for those are magerlín, magerlín na cuaica, or magerlín and spidoiga, in other words, the testicles of these various creatures. And so if you had recourse for that, if you were a man, well, you might feel that it was going to enhance your love life somewhat if you were to drink it or take part of eating it or something like that.
You're absolutely right. But I think you can really divide the medicinal uses of plants into two different categories, those that actually do work and those where you believe they will help, which can give you a boost as well.
Yes, speak to me of pithy beds, of Taraxacum officinalis, the dandelion. Now, that one does work, obviously, as a diuretic. But you found many other uses for dandelion as well, did you not?
Dandelions are wonderful plants. In the spring, occasionally I'll put a bucket over the leaves and they come up less green than if you had them uncovered. And then you can take the leaves and use them as salad, because they're not as bitter as when they're dark green. You can take the flowers and boil them and add sugar, and you can make your own wildflower honey. You can roast the roots to make a decaffeinated coffee. You can dip the flowers in batter and make fritters with them. So it's an altogether useful plant.
Another one that was quite commonly used were buttercups for treatments of various ailments, including such things as warts, heartburn, kidney trouble, mumps, swollen glands and jaundice. Now, what on earth connection has warts got with jaundice, for example? How can this be a cure-all for all of these things?
Well, it may not have been a cure-all for all of them. It may have been used, but it doesn't necessarily demonstrate that it actually cured those ailments. The connection between jaundice and buttercups would be because, a bit like the doctrine of signatures, where if something resembles the shape or the colour of a symptom of a disease, then perhaps that plant would be used as a hint that the good Lord would have given us that that plant could be used for a cure. So jaundice leads to a yellowing of the skin. The buttercup is yellow.
So this was a clue. God was saying, this is a clue. You're yellow. The buttercup is yellow. The buttercup will fix you. Indeed. So then you wouldn't want to be trying it with a dandelion, or you wouldn't want to be trying it with some other yellow flower. You had to know which one it was. You have pages and pages here on the hawthorn tree. Now, the hawthorn tree was the one we had this year for National Tree Day, which is not long over. And there's an enormous amount of association with the hawthorn tree, not only with eating it, but with magic as well, and the magic of the tree. And people firmly believed that this was a tree that if you brought it into the house, bad luck would follow. I wonder how that got associated with the hawthorn tree, when you have things like, say, the rowan tree, the mountain ash, which is a magic tree as well. But it's a good magic tree rather than a bad magic tree, if you like.
The hawthorn tree certainly has a lot of rich folklore associated with it. Single hawthorn trees out in the middle of a field may be regarded as being a tree around which the fairies would gather, and no one would want to cut it down at the risk of upsetting them. If you take a sprig of hawthorn into the house, it has a funny smell, which has been compared with an aroma that could be associated with death. And I suspect that's one of the reasons why people don't want to bring those flowers into the house. It will be bringing death into the house. It will be bad luck.
And I'm looking here at what you say about holly, because holly is brought into the house still, and people will actually go out and get holly, put it in their holly wreaths, bring them in. And you're saying that this is actually going back very many centuries to when people saw these things alive in the winter time. Everything else had no leaves, everything else was dead. So holly and ivy were ones that still had life in them. So they were bringing them in to celebrate the sun god Lu, practically. I mean, it's a pagan thing that we still do. It goes back as far as that.
I think it's certainly a case that evergreen branches were brought in as a reassurance that that spring is coming, and that most of the plants will spring back into life again and produce their leaves. But the evergreens are everlasting, and there is a sense of the continuity of life that in the winter that these ivy and holly and yew and other evergreens does bring.
Thank you, Aina and Peter Wise Jackson. And just to remind you that the details of all the books mentioned on tonight's programme can be found on our website, rte.ie/Mooney.